This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Second down and one for the Hokies. Pop Watson, in his first start, takes the snap, play fake. Looks to throw, fires it deep down the field. He's got his man laying in stride to the 20, to the 10, 5, touchdown Tech. It's a 66-yard touchdown pass. And the Hokies, Pop Watson, throws a home run ball all the way to Jalen Lane.
Jalen Lane, wide receiver and punt returner. Yeah, and a really good punt returner. Out of Virginia Tech on day three, fourth round, pick number 128. I'll give you my thoughts on the draft here coming up. This from Oscar. Oscar just wrote me, "Kevin, you got me again. Hearing the voices of John Madden and Pat Summerall at RFK Stadium is nostalgia on steroids. Where can I listen to that again?" Well, you can just download the Odyssey app and listen to the beginning of the show. After the show, but all of those games, a lot of those games are just available on YouTube, like the actual broadcast, the CBS broadcast of some of the biggest games Washington's ever played are just, they're there on YouTube. This from Alan, "Kevin's spine tingled hearing the Summerall Madden RFK highlights. Wow. I can still hear it. I can still see it. I can still smell it." Yeah, Alan, I can too. Like right now, if I focus, I can smell exactly what it smelled like when you walked into RFK Stadium. And yeah, you can feel it. You can see it. I think some of the cool moments, you know, walking up some of those ramps, and our seats were in the upper level. We were in section 513, row 13. So we weren't at the very top, but we were much closer to the top than, you know, the bottom. And we were at about the 10-yard line behind the Skins bench. That's where our seats were. And, you know, walking up those ramps, and occasionally when you would walk by one of the entrance, you know, into the stadium, and you could see the field and you could see the players. That was something incredibly exciting. Not to mention, you know, all of the smells of the stadium, but then all of the smells of just thinking about, you know, smoke. Like, it was pipe smoke back then. It was obviously cigarette smoke. And of course, there was the occasional whiff of weed in the stadium long before it was legalized. But yeah, Alan, I have the same sort of recall in terms of some of the more important senses that we use. And I think a lot of us that spent a lot of time in that stadium for games can feel it and see it and smell it, as you said, like you can as well. It will smell differently, I am sure, because there will be the new stadium smell, which is a great smell. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But we're 5 years away from it. Lots of things to get through, but it should be exciting. And again, we're going to carry the press conference with the mayor, with Josh Harris, Washington's owner, and the commissioner will be there as well, Roger Goodell. All right, the draft since we last talk. Obviously, Washington selected Josh Connerly Jr. at number 29 in the first round, despite many, many offers, according to Adam Peters, to trade back. They clearly liked the player. They clearly wanted the player. The offensive line depth in the draft wasn't there. And so when you got to the end of the first round, there were teams looking to snag their offensive tackle or offensive guard before the really good ones and the ones worthy of a first-round grade got picked. Washington decided to stick. And Josh Connerly Jr., more likely than not, will be the team's starting right tackle when we get to the beginning of the regular season. Is it possible he's not ready? Sure. And in that case, Andrew Wiley or Brandon Coleman will be the starting right tackle. But that was the first pick. We spent a lot of time on Friday talking about that. After that, Washington stuck at every spot where they were scheduled to pick going into the draft. Number 61 in the second round, number 128 in the fourth round, number 205 in the sixth round, and 245 in the seventh round. The second round pick, Trey Amos, corner from Ole Miss, is considered to be, by a lot of people, maybe the best value pick for Washington in terms of where they got him at 61 in the second round and how high he had been projected. He was projected as high as the middle of the first round, but an average projection of late first round, and Washington got him very late in the second round. This was a player who was a starting corner at Ole Miss for just a year, played at Louisiana first, then transferred to Bama, played behind Terrion Arnold, played behind, Kool-Aid McKinstry, moved to Ole Miss after Nick Saban called it quits and they brought in Kalen DeBoer. And he had his true breakout season last year, an SEC best 16 defended passes. He is incredibly athletic. He's got good size at 6'1", 195. And this is a guy that can play in a lot of different ways defensively. He can play press man. He can play really good zone coverage. This is considered by most to be, in terms of where they got him, the best value pick. No one had Trey Amos going 61 in the second round. Now, we talked about this a lot going into the draft. This was a draft where picks 5 through 50 or 6 through 60 or 7 through 70, whatever, you know, big gap you want to sort of take from the analysts, was a draft in which there wasn't a lot of difference, you know, among the, 60 to 70 players. In terms of the corners in this draft, you know, you had Travis Hunter, Will Johnson had an injury, Jahdae Barron went, Maxwell Hairston both went in the first round, and then it was about what would happen next, and Washington had an opportunity for a guy that had, you know, been mocked ahead of Jahdae Barron and Maxwell Hairston in several mocks. It's a defensive playmaker. It's a defensive spot. I'm going to say this a lot between now and the time we've seen these guys actually play in an NFL game for an NFL team, that you don't know and I don't know because they don't even know. Now, there are players occasionally where you do know, but they usually reside at the very top of the draft in terms of the true, you know, deep down, test somebody with truth serum. About what they know about these players when they get to the next level. They're high on them. They like them. They think that they project to the NFL level, but you never know until you get them into camp, until you get them into games, and you probably see them play a year or two, if not more, worth of games. But Trey Amos was a very good value pick for them. Ran 4.43 in the 40, 6.1, another, and by the way, this was the second straight year. And I meant to mention this before we got into some of the players specifically. The second straight year, Washington had the highest aggregate relative athletic score among its draft choices in the league. That was an emphasis once again. They wanted athletes. Connerly Jr. was a super athletic offensive lineman. Amos ran 4.43 and was super athletic. And then we get to the pick that they made in the fourth round at 128. Wide receiver, Jalen Lane from Virginia Tech. A player who, by the way, is a very good punt returner as well. But in terms of wide receivers heading into this draft, you know, Jalen Lane was a guy that projected anywhere from 10 to 20 on average among the wide receivers. Another really good athlete, ran 4.34 at the combine. Jalen Lane had a career in which he started at Middle Tennessee State, played 3 years there, transferred to Tech in 2023. Ended up in 2 years with about 79 receptions, 8 touchdowns, but also carried the ball a bunch. A lot of jet sweeps, a lot of fly sweeps. They utilized Jalen Lane and his speed, which was exceptional over and over again at Tech. 4.34 he ran in the 40. He's very fast. I think after spending some time watching him more so over the weekend than I did before the draft, I think he's got really good vision. I actually think his vision and his cuts really show up as a punt returner. He averaged 10.8 yards per punt return with 2 touchdowns in college. He also returned some kicks. But I thought his vision as a returner was even at times more consistent and better looking than his open field vision as a pass catcher or as a runner. But what he does have is he's got exceptional kind of acceleration. He's got great speed, but there is that ability to separate once he catches the ball. That is exciting. With that said, he's a bit, you know, small. He's 5'10", 190. So that would be the one knock. But, you know, even reading a little bit about him over the weekend, because you don't get, you know, you don't get a lot of the blocking in the highlight packages. But in reading about him, he was, as a blocker, a willing blocker. Now, I'll also tell you, as a punt returner, muffed a couple of punts last year for Virginia Tech. Something just to keep in mind. All right, so Jalen Lane, fourth round. My favorite player since we talked on Friday, after spending a bunch of time looking at these players and reading about these players, is Kane Medrano, the linebacker from UCLA that they selected in the sixth round. This is instinctive at the highest levels. You know, the linebacker Carson Schwechinger from UCLA went with the first pick in the second round, higher than most people anticipated. Kane Medrano is 6'3", 222, played primarily linebacker in a 3-3-5, which is a typical college scheme you see across the board. You'll see that 3-3-5. He didn't really play a whole lot in his first 4 years at UCLA, but became a starter in 2023. And this is just a guy that just makes plays. Now, he misses some when he gambles. This is one of those guys that's going to, you know, use his anticipation and his feel and his vision for the game to kind of jump stuff. And sometimes he's wrong. And so that can lead sometimes to missed tackles or to getting beat in coverage. But last year for UCLA, he had 2 interceptions, 1 for a touchdown, and 3 forced fumbles in a season in which he had his best season as a tackler as well. Everything about watching Kane Medrano on tape, and I didn't watch much of him before because linebacker was not necessarily the position we were focused on, but this guy is, you know, as Scott McLuhan would say, he's a football player. Like, he just is an athlete, but it's not just his ability to run, and he ran 4.46 at the combine. It's not his ability on a vertical leap, which, by the way, 38 inches on the vertical. This is a high-level athlete. It's his athletic anticipation that is so impressive to watch. I went back specifically to read what Adam Peters, and it was actually Lance Newmark who did the press conference after the day 3 picks, because I really wanted to hear what he said after I watched Kane Medrano highlights. And he said, here, a guy that we have a vision for and we're excited about a feel. Oh, he said Kane Medrano from UCLA is a guy that really kind of is a unique story where he's got an offensive background and he transitioned himself into a linebacker. Really a cool athlete, tall, long, fast, fastest linebacker at the combine, ran sub 4.5, yeah, ran 4.46. Another guy that has a really unique body type and just a unique athlete in terms of his testing numbers. To me, you can kind of feel his offensive history in his play. I think he has a really good feel as a coverage player, just has a unique sense. As a pass defender, we have a unique situation where linebackers coach Ken Norton Jr. coached him at UCLA, so we had some great insight on what we were getting in terms of the player and the person. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and I went out to see that UCLA Pro Day in March and had some great conversations about him, and he was another player, I hate to beat a dead horse, but was at the top of our board at the time when we picked, in another one where we just had great buy-in from all sides of the evaluation process. I think when he says he just has a really good feel as a coverage player, just has a unique sense, that's what really, really pops on film for Kane Medrano, is that he's just one of those guys that just has kind of that sixth sense about where the ball is going to be. Like, oh God, why am I blanking on this player? The safety for the Bills for many years. Guy that's played a number of spots around the league. I'll come up with his name shortly, but I always loved him as a player because it wasn't, and by the way, Medrano is much more athletic, and it looks like he could play a number of positions. I'm sure he'll be an outstanding special teams player as well. But, you know, there was one thing that did pop up, and you could see it on tape, is that against some of the higher level teams they played, he just gambled too much and ultimately was out of position to make tackles. He's also an older player. Like, he's 24, I think, going on 25. I liked of their players since we talked Friday, I think he is my favorite of the group. And then they drafted a running back, Jacory Kroski-Merritt from Arizona, although really he didn't really play much for Arizona. He played in one football game against his former school, New Mexico, which is where in 2023 he rushed for 1,100-plus yards and 17 touchdowns. So running back, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. So didn't look at him when I did my running back stuff. He was really way down the list of running backs, in part because he didn't play last year. He played one game for Arizona and then was ruled ineligible because he started his career at Alabama State and played there for four seasons and then played at New Mexico in 2023, then thought he had eligibility, but the NCAA ruled against the eligibility after he played in one game. In that one game, by the way, against New Mexico, the school he'd played for the year before, 13 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. He averaged 8.2 yards per carry. Now, Arizona demolished New Mexico State, although the game was competitive early. I watched a bunch of his highlights from that game. So, by the way, his nickname is Bill. All right, so it's Bill Kroski-Merritt or Bill Merritt, not Bill Marriott, but Bill Merritt. But Jacory Kroski-Merritt is impressive on tape, man. He is one of those dudes who, you know, he's 5'10", 205. He ran 4.45. He actually looks 4.45 on the field. He is explosive. He has good vision. Now, you know, he's one of those guys where the games in which he had big games weren't always against the best opponents. Let me just I'll pull up the game log from New Mexico in particular, where he had some massive games at the end of 2023. All right, hold on for one second. I'll pull it here. So he had in 2023 for New Mexico, all right, he had his final two games against Fresno and Utah State. 21 for 209 in two touchdowns, 31 for 233 in a touchdown. So in two games, he went 52 for 442 yards and three touchdowns. But against the likes of Boise, UNLV that year, they were a very good defensive team. They played early in the year, Texas A&M. You know, the results were much different. He was down well below, you know, 5 yards per carry. But still, competitor. And, you know, and looks the part. You know, we'll see. I kind of felt like Washington needed an all down back, you know, not necessarily for this year all down, because if you assume Eckler and Debo will get some of the all down stuff, but, you know, a guy that could go in there first and second down. And to me, he looks more change of pace. But you can't get it all, you know, with five picks in the draft. And that leads me to this. You know, the biggest surprise, clearly the biggest surprise, is that Washington did not end up with an edge defensive end. You know, we spent a lot of time looking at all of the edges, all of the defensive ends, and they didn't take any of them. You know, there were as many edges and defensive tackles picked in this draft as any other position. You know, they had opportunities, obviously, in the second round. You know, Mike Green went long before, you know, they came up at 61. And Oladehu and Scorton and my guy JTT from Ohio State, he went much earlier than projected to the Colts early in that round. Ezeraku went early in that round to Dallas. Then when you got to the fourth round at 128, the guy Kyle Kennard was a possibility, but they went wide receiver. You had a lot of edge defensive ends selected in this draft. I think edges and defensive ends were right at the top in terms of players drafted, and Washington didn't come away with one. To me, that's the biggest surprise, is that they did not get an edge defensive end. And, you know, we'll see if maybe they just like what they have and what they were able to add during the offseason, you know, more than we did, which means more than what we think. I think they think Wise is a pass rusher. I think in year two, they believe Armstrong can really step it up. I think Kinlaw is versatile, and they'll play him on early downs, maybe outside. We'll see. I've always felt, based on something that was told to me at one point during last summer, is that Javonte Jean-Baptiste, their seventh rounder from last year, was a player they really had high hopes for. But ultimately, you know, on defense, in terms of the draft and the offseason so far, Trey Hendrickson hasn't been traded yet. It's the biggest mystery. Biggest mystery. You know, I'm not hashtagging let Adam cook. I mean, it's some of that's just absurd when it comes to the draft, that you have no idea on what they drafted and what these players will be at the professional level for a couple of years. I mean, we were surprised last year, certainly, that Sanders still turned into as good of a player as he did right away. And you would hope that for Trey Amos, you know, another corner in the second round, that you could end up with a guy with some size and length who can run and is athletic, that he ends up being a big-time outside corner to pair with Marshawn Lattimore, and you can move Sanders still inside in terms of the longer-term plan. We shall see. But this offseason, if it's over, and it's never over, there are still players out there who are free agents. There are going to be players released or cut or attempted to be traded. And then, of course, we get to the period at the end of training camp. But overall, you know, I'm not into grading drafts, but overall it was another athletic class, and I really like Kane Medrano's tape. He may never play for them. Who knows? But man, what an instinctive anticipation athlete he is. And I could certainly see him at the very least being a big contributor on special teams. And I certainly like Jalen Lane as a potential punt returner. You know, they could use a punt returner as long as he can hold on to the ball. All right. The press conference, Mayor, Commissioner Josh Harris coming up. We'll carry it live.
All right. This morning, D.C. Mayor's Office, Muriel Bowser, and the Washington Commanders have announced a deal to bring them back to the RFK site. More specific details will be announced at the joint press conference. You can hear that in just about 10 minutes here on the Team 980. The Caps got the big win in Montreal last night by a score of 5-2. They bring home a 3-1 series lead. Andrew Mangiapane scored the game-winning goal. They will meet again on Wednesday at Capital One Arena. Coverage at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. The Nats with two walk-off wins this weekend. Yesterday, beating the Mets on a throwing error that allowed Luis Garcia to reach first, and C.J. Abrams sprinted in from second to lift the Nats over the Mets 8-7. They close out the series today at 4:05. Pregame starts at 3:35 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports, and that's what's trending.